Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be seen this morning. We have much to be thankful for. Several loved ones who have had serious things happen to them in their health this week, and they're doing well, and we're thankful for that. One that wasn't mentioned, but very thankful for, Sandy had shingles for a week or two, and she's recovered from that, and so we're thankful for that. That's very painful, we just have so much to be thankful for. We know that God hears and answers our prayers, and we're just so thankful for that. And in keeping with that, I'd like for us to look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But John says, we know that we are of God. You notice that that's probably not the politically correct way to say that. Most people today would say, well, I feel that I'm of God, or I think that I'm of God, or I hope that I'm of God. No, that's not the terminology of those who have embraced the doctrine of Christ. We know that we are of God. When you think about that and meditate on it a little bit, you ask yourself the question, well, who is of God? Who is John talking about there? In a general sense, everyone is of God. When God created the world, Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." You drop down to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 2 and verse 7, reflecting upon that act of creation, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 16 reads, "The Lord," meaning Jehovah, "the God of the spirits of all flesh." God, Jehovah God, is the God of the spirits of all flesh. He created us. He created us for a purpose. And we will answer to him for whether we have fulfilled that purpose or not. Acts 17, we've noticed a couple of times in the last few weeks where Paul is in Athens and he speaks to them. He stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he has predetermined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God winked at, overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. God indeed created all men for a purpose, to fulfill a purpose. And we will give an account to him as to whether we do fulfill that purpose. What is that purpose? We've noticed so many times, Ecclesiastes 12 and verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Why are we here? What's man's purpose for living? Fear God, revere God, and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. We have a common dilemma. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. Sin is doing those things for which we are prohibited from doing. There is no law. There is no authorization for us doing them. We break the law of God when we do those things that he has not authorized us to do. Sin is lawlessness. And here's the problem. Romans 3 and verse 23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom all must give account. Romans 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man to die once, and after this, the judgment. The wages of sin is death. God made that apparent to us when Adam and Eve sinned. He said, in the day that you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will surely die. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden, and no longer having access to the tree of life, their physical bodies became susceptible to physical death. But the day that they ate of that tree, spiritually, they died. Spiritually, they were separated from God. The wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, in his love for us, in his grace towards us, acted in such a way that he sent his only Son to pay the price for our sin in his death on the cross. So, in a general sense, everyone is of God. Every man was created by God. Every man is created for the same purpose, to revere him and to keep his commandments, and every single one of us have failed to do that. We have all sinned. So, when John was saying, we are of God, in 1 John 5 and verse 19, he said, we're not like everybody else. That's what he said in the rest of that verse. Those who are under the spell of the wicked one, we're not of the wicked one. We are of God. So specifically, John was talking about those who hear and practice God's Word. We are of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 27, we read, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." He's speaking to the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem. He said, "You've proven yourselves not to be of God because you will not hear the words of God." To be of God, we must hear God's word. John 6 and verse 45, it said this way, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me." We must hear God's word, and we must learn what God teaches us from his word and put it into practice. 1 John 1 and verse 3 says, "That which we, John's meaning we apostles, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's words. Well, the apostles were of God. They heard what Jesus said. And John says, what we heard, we have delivered unto you. What they heard, they have delivered unto us. We can hear what they heard. And we can learn what they learned. And we can do what they did. And when we do that, we, like them, are of God. In 1 John 2 and verses 3 through 5, very sobering passage here. John says, "By this we know that we know him." Now in chapter 5, he's going to say, "We know that we are of God." But in chapter 2, he says, "This is how we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments." Not if we've heard his commandments. Not if we believe his commandments are true but don't practice them. If we keep his commandments, we know that we know him. "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." A lot of people like that today. A lot of people, like John said there in 1 John 5 and verse 9, who are deceived by the wicked one, are deceived into believing and feeling and thinking that they are of God. They say, "I know God. I know Jesus. I love Jesus." But they do not keep his commandments. John's calling them out here. They are lying. They are lying. The truth is not in them. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." God has shown us that he loves us by sending his Son, by giving us his word, to lead us in paths of righteousness here, to show us how to revere him and to keep his commandments, to live to his glory. God has certainly declared his love to us. But how do we declare our love to him? When we keep his commandments, we perfect that love. We reciprocate his love. The love comes back to God when we do his will instead of our own carnal will. By this, we know that we are in him. We know we are in him. We know that we know him in verse 3. We know that we are in him, verse 5. And it all comes back to hearing and doing his word, keeping his commandments. Those who hear and practice that which is not from God are not from God, are not of God. 1 John 4, verse 1 and verse 6 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." How would you test the spirit? He's not talking about spiritual beings, or he's talking about every one of us are a spirit. Every one of us, as we express ourselves. How do you know? If somebody said, "Well, I'm a reverend, I'm a man of God, I'm a child of God, I am of God," how would you test that? John is telling us here to test that. How do you do that? You test what they say against what God's word says. I had a fella, I don't know where he came from and how he got there. He came up in my Facebook feed, and I think it was just this week, but he asked a bunch of questions to make people doubt, to make people, you know, and people give their opinions and everything. And one of them was, I think the question was, "Do you or have you ever prayed in tongues?" So, okay, I'm going to read down through this. I read all the different answers and so forth, you know. I responded. I said, "No. And neither has anyone who thinks they have or says they have in this list. I believe the doctrine of Christ, not the testimonies of men. And the doctrine of Christ says those who are speaking in tongues or praying in tongues or anything in tongues are liars, and the truth is not in them." You and I need to start speaking plainly. Now, I can back that up with Scripture, and I will, but not this morning. And I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon, but you and I need to realize that when somebody is just spouting off what they think and what they feel. Yeah, another one was, the element of the Lord's Supper, the beverage of the Lord's Supper, was that wine or was it grape juice? And it must be pretty popular in some liberal elements to say anybody can make grape juice, because that would came up easy peasy. Anybody can make grape juice. You just take grapes and you smash grapes. Yeah. And somebody said, "You can make grape juice out of water?" There's a lot of good answers. You know, they weren't all foolish answers, but there were some good answers. No need for me to respond. And it just amazes me that people ask these questions and really do not pursue the truth in the answer to those questions. They pursue what thinks right, what they think is right, what they feel is right. And they'll find a bunch of people who agree with them. "Well, if you agree with me, then it must be right." "Well, what about me? I don't agree with you." And what about the doctrine of Christ? More importantly, it doesn't agree with you either. Now what are you going to do? What they partook of in the Lord's Supper was genema and paulos, not anyos. It wasn't a word for wine. It was genema apollos, the fruit of the vine, grape juice. test the spirits. People can say anything. Make sure that the people you're listening to are speaking the doctrine of Christ. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, just a few verses later, it says, "We are of God." Test the spirits whether they are of God. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What's John saying there? In essence, what John is saying, we speak the truth of God's word. And those who hear the truth and come to the truth are of God. We who speak the truth are of God, and those who do what they hear from God's word are of God. Who is of God? Those who participate in our common salvation. Jude verse 3 says, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." And you might say, that seems kind of a strange phrase. But it wasn't in the first century. In the first century, where you had Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and still they had the prejudice one for the other. And much of the New Testament was written to address that prejudice. Now, we are not under two laws. We are under one law of Christ. That the law of Christ is for Jew and Gentile. Paul makes that point very clear in Romans, from the very beginning of the Roman letter and throughout much of the body of that letter. It is for all men everywhere. The gospel of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, applies to all men everywhere, regardless of race or government, what continent they live on, what time they live in. Since Jesus came off of the cross and ascended to heaven, and since that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus, this common salvation is for all. And Jude says, "I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, warning and encouraging you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." If you have heard the word of the faith, not some faith, not your faith, not our faith, the faith that comes by hearing the word of God, you are identified by God as a saint, one who is set apart from the world. You're not part of those who have been deceived by the wicked one. You've come out of that deception. You are of God. You are a saint. Romans 10 and verse 17, got a little bit ahead of myself there a little bit, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by hearing something that sounds good, something that sounds spiritual, something that sounds mostly right. Hearing the totality of the gospel of Christ. Paul told the elders at the church at Ephesus, "I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." We must hear it, revere it, and practice it in our lives. Those who are of God are those who believe that salvation is only available in and through Jesus Christ. This common salvation is a salvation that is in Christ. John 1 and the first 14 verses tells us that in the beginning, that's the Genesis chapter 1 beginning, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In that beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So we're not talking about words written here. We're not talking about words spoken. We're talking about the Word personified. The Word of God personified. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that through him all might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. See the common nature of this? This light is for every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 12 and 13 is really kind of an introduction. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born of God. Just a couple chapters later, Jesus is going to be speaking to Nicodemus and tell him, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born of God. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born of God, we must hear his word. Believe in him who is the word. Trust him and obey him. As many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in his name, they are born of God. We know that we are of God. In John 3 and verse 16, after telling Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, do you believe that you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit? You have to do that. You have to believe it and you have to do it. That's why I'm here, so that you can believe it. And so that you can be born again. In verse 36, as that chapter closes out, Jesus said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. Do you not believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You will not see life. Do you not believe that you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit, that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins? You will not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. In John 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they shall also all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me. John 8 and verse 24, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You will pay the price for your own sins, being eternally separated from God and everything that is good. Acts 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name anywhere. To be of God and to know you are of God, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. And you must obey Him. Turn from your sins to do His will. As Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Repent means to turn around. It means to stop following the carnal desires and start fulfilling God's divine desire for you. Confess Christ. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Have you done that? And we need to obey Christ. Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. He who does not believe will not repent, will not confess, will not be baptized, will not abide in the doctrine of Christ. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. They can know that they are of God, that they have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. In Acts 2 and verse 38, the first time the gospel of Christ, our common salvation, was taught, they asked, what shall we do? The answer was, the divine answer, Peter, as the Holy Spirit was giving him the words, said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus authorized repentance. Jesus authorized baptism, being born again, for the remission of our sins. Romans 8 and verses 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are of God. When we obey the gospel of Christ, our spirit says, the Holy Spirit taught me to believe in Jesus, to trust Him, to obey Him, to turn from my sin, to confess Him, to obey Him in baptism, to continue to abide in His Word. Therefore, I know that I am of God. Romans 8 and verse 16 is saying that when we do that, the Holy Spirit Himself bears witness to God that they have done what God authorized the Holy Spirit to reveal to us to do to become a child of God. If we are children, if we're children of God, then we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Very similar to that in Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27, we read, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you have put on Christ. You are a son, a child of God, an heir of God. John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You can know that you're a child of God, but as a child of God, we must continue to abide in His Word. We came to believe in His Word, to obey His word when we were baptized, when we were born again, when we became a child of God. But to remain His children, we must abide in His word to be His true disciples. 1 John 5, verse 19 is our text that we've been working off of this morning. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We were under the sway of the wicked one until we heard and believed and trusted and obeyed Christ. We know that we are of God. We come out from the sway of the wicked one. Verse 20 goes on to say, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and an eternal life. We live in uncertain times. But there are things that we can be certain of. We can know that we are of God if we hear Him, believe Him, trust Him, obey Him, and live to His glory. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You're not under the sway of the wicked one. You have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I am certain that God is alive, that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, that He is our Savior. I am certain that this book we call the Bible is the God-breathed Word of God. That it is the path of righteousness that leads us out of the darkness of sin into the pathway of righteousness and leads us to the very throne of light in heaven. I'm certain of that. I know that I am of God because I heard and believe and live according to His word. Oh, is it perfect? No, my life is not perfect. I'm not asking you to follow me and be like me. I'm not even like Paul. I'm not asking you to be an imitator of me, but be an imitator of Christ. Don't allow the inconsistencies that you might perceive in me to dissuade you from being a child of God, or the inconsistencies that you might see in anyone who professes to be a child of God. Don't allow that to be an excuse for you not following Christ. You look into His Word. Find the truth there. Commit yourself to practicing it. And know that you are of God. If you need to obey the gospel today, we'd encourage you to let us know and let us assist you. Everything's ready. And if your heart is ready, then we'd encourage you. If you know who you have believed and you are persuaded to follow Him, then follow Him this very day. If you're here today as a child of God and you're out of favor with Him because of sin that you've allowed to creep into your life, and you've justified your sin, you've excused your sin, you're ready to repent of that, have us pray with you and for you. We'd encourage you to let it be known. You know whom you have believed. Follow Him this day. And leave this place today knowing that you are of God. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?